Open with me this morning in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And as you see the title on the screen this morning, as you see the title of the message on the screen, just think in your mind for a second of a couple of words that means to you. A couple of thoughts of what it means, real love. Now, who wants to share? Share time. Somebody give me a word or a thought.
Sacrifice.
Sacrifice. Say it again.
Unconditional.
Committed.
Forever.
Grace-filled. Wonderful. Real love. Now think how the world sees real love. Think how the world views real love. Will Steve get Mary, or will Mary go love and chase after Frank? And if Frank accepts Mary's affection, will Frank leave his wife and go with Mary? If you want to find out the rest of the story, go tomorrow at the same time as the world turns. Right? That is the world's vision of what love is. And let me tell you, it's unfortunate, it's unfulfilling, and it's unreal. But it's how people see real love. People see real love as a trial and error method. I will try it, and if I like it, I will stay. And that's not what real love is. That's not what it is. 1 John chapter 4. John is going to give us an idea. He's going to assume that we don't know what real love is, so he's going to show us. He's going to tell us in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. We'll begin reading in our Bible. The Bible says, "This is love. This is love." He's telling us. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and He sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Verse 11, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also should love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us," which your word may say perfect. Verse 13, "We know that we live in Him, and He in us, because He has given us the Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world." If you can testify to that this morning, say amen. Verse 15, "If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, then God lives in Him and He in God." Does anybody this morning acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God? Say amen. Amen. And verse 16, "And so we know and we rely on the love God has for us. God is love. And whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him." Verse 17, "In this way, love is made complete or perfect among us so that we have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like Him." Verse 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made in perfect love." Verse 19, "We love because He first loved us. And if anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And He has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother." The first thing I want you to notice this morning in real love is real only if God can be found in the middle of it. Love is real only if God can be found in the middle of it. Notice verse 10. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and He sent His Son, an atoning sacrifice for our sin. It says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we should also love one another. We read it in prayer time this morning for John 3:16. For God so what? Loved us. He so loved us. You see, real love, think of it, real love is connected to God. Real love cannot be separated from God. In other words, real love and God are so connected that one cannot be found without the other. They are together. Where God hangs out, real love hangs out. Where God is where real love would be. Think about this in your younger days. And some of you are going through that now. But think of these younger couples that are physically attracted to one another, and they discover they enjoy the same things, and they find that they communicate well with one another, and so they decide that they are compatible, and they fall in love, and they decide to give marriage a try. That's what I hear most of the time. We're going to try it. Is that real love? And the answer biblically is no, because we haven't heard anything from this couple about putting God in the middle of their marriage. We haven't heard anything about God putting these people together. If it is real love, you would know, because God would be in the very middle of that love. God would be brought up often in their conversations. God would be the things that their conversations are based on. Any decisions made would be a matter of prayer and seeking what God would want for their specific life. Disagreements would be resolved by seeking God's will. Karen and I got married May 23rd, 1992. Forever ago. For her. And at that time, we both invited God into the middle of our marriage. And when He showed up, that's when real love showed up. The real love wasn't the spark that Karen had for my great looks. It was when God showed up. That was the real love. And now I'm confident that our marriage will stand the test of time. As long as we allow God to be the centerpiece, the very middle of our marriage. Can God be found in the middle of your relationships? Can God be found in the middle of your marriage? If you would be willing to put God in the middle of whatever that relationship is, I can assure you that your relationships can be healed. Remember, where God hangs out, that's where real love is. Where God is found, secondly, love is real only if I put no conditions on what you must do to love me. Boy, we like to put conditions on folks now. Notice verse 10, this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. See, your love had nothing to do with how much God loves you. He sent His Son anyway. If you would say, I love you when, then I'm putting a condition on my love that is not the love of God. If you say, I love you if, then I'm putting a condition on my love, and that also is not the love of God. And if you say, I love you because, that's putting a condition on my love, and that is also not the love of God. You see, the Bible says God sent His Son to die for the sins of the whole world. We know from reading our Bible that wide is the way that leads to destruction. Many enter that way. We also know that the narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and only a few enter those roads. But God did not put any conditions on us for Jesus to leave heaven. Think of that. When God said, Jesus, I want you to go down to earth, Jesus did not say, God, I'll go down to earth, but I need a few more people to move over to the eternity side to make it worth my time. That's not what God said. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus didn't say, God, they're not ready yet. Jesus didn't say that there's not enough people that are going to know who I am for me to go down there. He did not put a condition on the reason that he came. God sent his son to die for the sins of the whole world. God didn't put any conditions on us for Jesus to leave heaven and to die on the cross. And Jesus did not look back up at his Father and tell him that we need more people to transfer to this side of eternity so it'd be worth his time while he was here. Instead, he left heaven and he died on the cross. In fact, I believe sincerely that if he knew that no one would have accepted him, he would have still come to earth and he would have still died on that cross. Why? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. Because it's real love. No conditions attached. Aren't you glad that God doesn't love you because? Aren't you glad that God doesn't love you if all these conditions? I'm glad God doesn't love me. If I were skinny, I wouldn't get much love. He loved me if I had, right? He loved me if I was only 35. He loved me if my bank account said whatever. He loved me if I lived in this neighborhood. He loved me if I went to this church. There are no conditions on God's love. He loves you because you're you and because he created you. He loves you. Real love. No conditions attached. I'm sure there are none of these people in here, so I'm going to use this example this morning. But there was a husband that was gone off to work, and he had told his wife, I expect when I come home every day, you're going to know this is not me when I say this. I expect when I come home every day that I have a hot meal on the table. And so the man walks in the next day or next whatever, and there's no hot meal on the table. So he goes into this irate, and he's yelling and screaming. And his wife's balled up in the corner over there, deathly sick. You see, if the man had conditions on what he was trying to do, or else his first love would have been sitting over in the corner hurting. But the important thing to him was the condition that he put on his wife. If you have something that you love because of a condition, you tend to focus on the condition, not on the love. You tend to focus on the reason I love you instead of real love. If you focus on the love, then the first concern would have been his wife. Third this morning, love is real only if the fear involved in the relationship goes away. Verse 16 says, God is love, and whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. And in this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence in the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. Verse 18, there is no fear in love. But perfect love, God's love, drives out fear. Perfect love, God's love, drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears is not made complete, is not made perfect in love. So when you enter into that relationship, there's always this element of distrust. There's always this element. You have to wonder if the person that you're in the relationship with, are they really in it for married death till we part? What about when I tell them a secret? Are they going to use it against me later? Is it going to be a vendetta against me? as I develop this friendship with someone and we fall in love and I fall in love with this friend and I tell them a secret, or one day are they going to use it against me? That's fear. You have to wonder if the people you love will stand behind you if things take a bad turn. If things don't go the way that were planned, if things go abruptly wrong, are the people standing behind you, what are they going to do? Are they going to abandon you when you need them the most? And John says this morning in verse 18 that real love takes away all that fear. Real love takes away the fear. If God is in the middle of your love, then fear cannot stay around it. If you are fearful this morning of a relationship or something in your love life, then God's not there. That's what the Bible says. Because God doesn't stay around fear. Fear doesn't stay around God. It sounds better that way. In fact, John says this morning that perfect love, which is God's love, drives out all fear. God's love drives that away. I know from a personal experience, before I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I invited Him into my heart, I had a fear about death. I feared it. Because I didn't know. But I invited Jesus into my life, and that fear vanished. And now every day that I live, it disappears more and more and more and more. It's gone. Today I know with very much confidence that when I die, that I'll be in the presence of an almighty God. I'm looking forward to that. And so if today is that day, and today is the last breath I take, and tomorrow or the next day they would lay me and roll me down this aisle, I will be with an almighty God. There is no fear in that death. That's what God did for me. That's what real love is. It removed the fear completely out of my life. People worry all the time, and I hear it all the time in my profession, but people worry their spouses all the time about, boy, I hope they're not in an affair, or they're not doing this, or they're not doing... If God is in the middle of your relationship, there'll be no fear. Trust. Is there distrust in your relationship? Is there trust in your relationship? If there's distrust in your relationship, then I can tell you that the love of God's not in it. It's not there. Today, if you have to hold back because you're not sure about the other person, then God's love's not in the middle of that. When God's love shows up, then your relationship, whatever level that is, friends, child, parent, whatever relationship that is, when God's love shows up, that relationship can move forward and it will have no fear. Why? Because the presence of God is love. Fourth, love is only real if I'm willing to work through those things that stand in the way of me loving like I should. Notice verse 19. 19 answers a very important question. Why do we love? Because He first loved us. And if anyone says, I love God but hates his brother, he's a liar. John's pretty blunt, isn't he? He's a liar. If you walked up to somebody and said that today, they'd back up, wouldn't they? Or they'd hit you. John just calls it like it is. If you say it, and don't mean it, you're a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother who he has seen cannot love God whom he hadn't seen. And he's given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. God does not give us permission to let anything stand in the way of loving our brothers and sisters. comprehend that for a second. There's nothing but nothing but nothing but nothing that can stand in the way of you loving your brothers and sisters. In fact, John says something that at first glance, when I first read it, kind of shocked me. He said, this is the command. Whoever loves God must love his brother. Let that sink in a minute. If you love God, say amen. This verse is for you. Whoever loves God, what? Must love his brother. God didn't say that you are to love them except when they talk about you. God didn't say you're supposed to love them except when they anger you. God didn't say that you're supposed to love them except when they do something to you or against you or whatever. God said you're supposed to love them. You must love your brothers and sisters. You have to love them when they hurt you. You love them anyway. You have to love them when they give you the cold shoulder. You have to love them when they ignore you. You have to love them when they give you that look. You got to love them anyway. And here's the problem with that command I don't like. Let's be honest. The problem that I don't like with this command is that person doesn't have to change for me to love them. I have to change my feelings. Because that person can be the same old grouchy, no fun to be around. And I have to love them, so I have to do the changing because they're not going to change. And that's the part of that command I don't like, is it puts it all back on who? Me. It's all back on me. I have to find a way to love you. And you have to find a way to love me. That person can stay exactly as they are, and God expects me to love them. They don't have to change for me to love them. God puts the responsibility of change upon my shoulders. I don't like that. Do you like that? I want to be able to snap my finger and everybody act like I want them to, don't you? Right. That doesn't even work in my house. But let's put it in a church perspective. God commands that we love one another. I'm so glad He didn't make us all the same, aren't you? I'm so glad that He made smart people. I really am. I'm so glad that He made tall people and bald people and fat people. I'm so glad that He made all different kinds of people that like birds and people that like to grow things and people that like to live out in the woods. I'm so glad God made all those people. But when He did that, we all are different. So we all see things from different spectacles. We all have different ideas. We all see the way different things should go. And that's the way God made us. And so therefore, we're going to disagree once in a while. But that doesn't mean we don't love each other. That doesn't mean we turn a sour nose to each other because we disagree. That's the way God made us. He made us to have a thought process and to be able to think and to be able to voice our opinion. And listen, church, I know your opinion's not the only one out there. Okay? There's a whole bunch of us. So your opinion's not the only one. And so when we love each other without condition, that's exactly what that means. When somebody says something, you think, what? How many times you got in the car and I've said something and you looked over at whoever's riding with you and you said, what? I understand. All the time, every week. But hopefully you still love me. We still love each other, no conditions attached, even though we're different. And you can stay just like you are. I can stay just like I am. And God still commands us to love each other. You tell me today that you're not going to do that, then I have to tell you that the love of God is not in your life. That's what John said. Oh, Billy, I can't love that person. It's not a question of whether you can or can't. It's a question of whether you will or won't. Because God says you will. So let's put that out of our mind. God expects us to change. So maybe you'll do a heart check this morning. I got four questions up on the board. I'm going to let you read those real quick. Is God an unimportant part of my relationship? I hope you would say no. Do I put conditions on the people I love? That's a question you need to answer this morning. Number three, are my relationships filled with fear? And number four, am I holding out for them to change rather than me making the change? And if you answered yes to any four of those questions, then you may have love in your life, but I don't think it's the love of God in your life. Why? Because simply put, if the love of God is in your midst, then those four questions you would say no, 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 and no. Today is the day that you talk with that guy who is love. And we open this altar up for you to come talk with the one who gives His love in which we can live by. His name is Jesus. Jesus, the Messiah. The one His Father sent down to walk just like me and you, to show what real love really is. Father, thank You this morning for Your Word. Thank You, Father, for John, Lord, and him calling a spade a spade. Thank You, Father, for those in this place, Lord, and may we recognize what real love is. And Father, may we not put conditions on it. Father, may we follow Your example in this church and in our homes of real love. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand?